So the name of your lesson is Being Doers of the Word. So how important is that in your life as a believer?
Church. Being a good vocal.
Yes. Without the Word of God and being obedient to the Word of God, then it's impossible to live the life that God wants us to live. So, and in order to do that, in order to fully understand the importance of putting our faith into practice, then we have to be doers of the Word, meaning we have to be obedient to the Word of God. So, how do we become that in our life in Christ?
Prayer.
Study, witnessing, meditating.
Yep, study, prayer, meditating upon the Word. This is all things that we need to do as believers, because this is what brings together, bridges that spiritual gap, so to speak, between what we believe and what we think we believe and what is actually the truth of God's Word. So this kind of pulls that all together. There's a lot of things that we hear, a lot of things that we see, a lot of things that we know because of what other people have said, and this brings it all together. It shows us whether all of that thing, all of those things that are going on around us, it shows us whether they're true or not. And this is what God wants us to understand in our life in Christ. God wants to make sure that what we believe and what we practice reflects our spiritual moral values. And that would be the simplicity of the truth of His Word. So, What's all of this based upon then? What's the basis of all of this in our life? What's it do for us in our life? It brings spiritual growth. It helps our faith to grow. And it gives us more confidence in the things that we are learning, so that our relationship with God begins to grow. And therefore, when we go out into the world, we have more of the God-given ability to be able to allow others to see what salvation is truly all about.
We were talking here at the VA the other day, and a fellow, he was talking up a storm about the Bible. And I asked him, I said, is this your opinion or is this the Bible? And he just caught him in something that he didn't want to be. I said, well, I can tell you this much. What comes out of your mouth is who you are.
Yeah, true.
I'm old with him.
So this practice, so to speak, or practicing our faith and allowing God's Word to rule in our life, meaning being obedient to God's Word, and this kind of goes along with what you said, it determines our way of life, or it determines who we are in God. So we can't profess to believe in the truth of God's Word if we're not obedient to the truth of God's Word. So we if you're going to profess it, then you've got to be obedient to it. So true obedience, or being a doer of the Word, means putting God's instruction, which is the Word of God, it means putting that into practice or into play in our life. So what's the old saying? You have to learn to practice what you
preach.
That's right. So that's where that comes in at. So in Psalm, the 119th Psalm, if you've never studied the 119th Psalm, that's just something you could study all the time. And once you study it once, go back and study it again and again, because there is so much stuff in that 119th Psalm. But I'm going to read you a couple verses out of the 119th Psalm. And I'm going to read you verse 57, 55 through 57, and it says, and this is David, he said, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage," meaning growing up. This is what he learned. The statutes means the things that he learned, the word that he learned. And he said, "I've remembered," and he said, "O Lord, so in the night have I kept thy law." Now, in the night doesn't mean at night, in the dark. It means through the darkness of his life, because David had a lot of darkness, just like the rest of us, had a lot of darkness in his life. But he said, "I've remembered," and he said, "I had this because I kept thy precepts," meaning I was a doer of the word. I might not be a doer of the word right at this moment, but at one time I was obedient, because we're all going to have times in our life that we're obedient. We're going to have times in our life that we're disobedient. So he said, "I remembered the times that I was obedient," and he said, "When I'd done this," then he said, "I remembered that you are my portion. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy word." So see, God brought him back to the things that he was taught. So he began to remember those things that the Lord had taught him. And this is what this is all about in our life. It's about our commitment to God's Word. And our commitment to God's Word can only come as we rely upon the indwelling Holy Spirit that is within us. And then, as this commitment begins to grow, then you'll begin to find some satisfaction. You know, a lot of people don't have spiritual satisfaction in their life yet. And it's because we kind of commit, but we don't fully commit. So therefore, if you don't fully commit, you never get to see or experience the greatness of the spiritual satisfaction of God. So one of the things that we... commitment does not mean burdensome. Okay? A lot of Christians think, well, if I commit, that's another burden on me. Now I got to do this. Now I got to do that. Commitment is not a burdensome work. That's not what commitment is. Commitment is joy. It's a joyful response to God's grace and His love in service unto Him. That's what commitment is. So that means that God's Word, everything that we do, God, through God's Word, He's going to guide us. He's going to instruct us. He's going to bless us. He's going to allow us to see the importance of the time that we spend meditating and studying His Word. And through this, He's going to give us understanding, because He wants us to see that this source of our commitment is what's going to sustain us in our life. And that's what this in the 119th Psalm, these verses that we wrote, that shows that no matter where we ended up in life, we still go back, because it's the Word of God that is going to sustain us and give us those things that we need in our life. Okay, so in the book of James, we're going to read the first couple verses. In the book of James chapter 1, and it starts with verse 19, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be" what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, and then if we are, we'll be what? Slow to wrath. "For the wrath of man worketh not," okay? Get that part. The wrath of man, it does not work, or it does not involve the righteousness of God. So now we're going to learn a little bit of self-control when we are interacting with other people, especially other people within the body of Christ. So how much self-control... self-control is hard, isn't it?
Especially when it comes to patience.
Yeah, and a lot of times when it comes to the people that are closest to you, whether they're family members or good friends or particularly good whatever. Self-control, interacting with other people can be very hard. So it's very important to display self-control. So this means, in order to display self-control, and he tells you this here, we've got to be very attentive to their needs. We have to be very attentive to what they're saying. We've got to be eager to receive, because we're actively listening to what others have to say. Now, I know we all do, because we'll be somewhere and somebody, and when we leave, Nancy will say, "You didn't hear a word they said, did you?" So I wasn't actively listening. Why is that? My interaction wasn't very good. So we've got to be, if we want to understand, and that's what he's talking about here, when he says swift to hear, and when he says hear, you've got to you got to hear what people, not just the words that they're saying, but you got to hear what they're trying to tell you, because a lot of people can't explain themselves very well through words. So you just can't walk away and say, "Well, those people, they don't know what they're talking about," or you got to get you got to try to understand what it is that they're trying to say. So instead of just waiting to blurt something out, we have to learn to listen. Because when we just carelessly blurt something out, then those impulses that we have are probably not going to be impulses from God. They're probably going to be our old worldly emotion, and most of it's probably going to come from aggravation or not having enough patience, like you said, or whatever the case may be, so that these words that then come out, they're going to cause more harm than they do good. So we have to be very careful when it comes to this. So that means humility. There has to be a lot of humility involved. But humility is no good without the wisdom and knowledge of God. Worldly humbleness is not going to get us anywhere. So it has to be humility through the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And then this type of communication, then we begin to see what spiritual growth is all about, because now you're going to start to see a healthy relationship, not just between you and God, but between who and whoever it is that you are interacting with in your life. Most relationships are not healthy relationships. Most married couples' relationships are not healthy relationships because they don't take the time to listen to one another.
Well, God give us two ears and only one mouth.
That's right. And that was for a reason, wasn't it?
Yeah. And God says all good things come from above, but chastisement.
Sure it does. That's right. That's all part of our life in Christ, is the consequences of our actions. They could be consequences of blessings if our actions are good. They could be consequences of condemnation if our actions are bad. So in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, here's what he said. Christ said himself said this. He said, "O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." That's the verse you was talking about, Roger. So that's what he says. So if we don't discipline ourselves. And when you study the whole book of James, you'll find out that, first of all, you can't discipline yourself. I can't discipline myself. That only can come through God. That only can come through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So we have, this is something we have to learn to do in our life. So more wisdom can be gained by what? By listening and observing, and not by speaking or rushing into some kind of judgment upon those around us. So in Proverbs, it kind of gives you the same thing back in the book of Proverbs. So back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 19... Proverbs 10, verse 19, it says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." What's he talking about? He's talking about our discipline, our how... the things that we say, the communication that goes forth from our mouth, from within us. So he's talking about the words that come out of our mouth. He said the multitude of the words, and when he said there wanteth not sin, meaning when those words are sinful, they are not good.
That's what he's saying. Loose lips sink ships.
There you go. That's right. So, but he said, the one that reframeth or doesn't have this, he said, then the words that come out of his mouth, they'll be wise. So this is what he's talking about here. Paying close attention to the Word of God, listening, meditating upon the Word of God, and then speaking in conjunction with those things that we are learning through the Word of God, by being obedient to the Word of God.
Sometimes we're wise if we just keep our mouth shut here.
Right. Just let it go.
Isn't that where it comes, biting your tongue?
God, he already knows what's going to come out of our mouth. Sooner or later, the more we talk and do,
yeah, he would rather it didn't come out, but you're right. He already knows. Yeah. he knew that long before we were ever born.
What can help us out? Just look in the mirror once in a while.
So he says, in order for this to work through the righteousness of God, then starting with verse 21, he says, here's what we got to do. He said, you got to lay apart or lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is what? Able to save your souls. So he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. So it's real easy to, through words, it's real easy to make yourself become something that you're not. Because we can allow the deceptiveness of the sinfulness of the world to put us into a position where here's what I'm going to display myself as, but that's not really who we are, especially in the Lord. So God tries to instill, and it is instilled within us when we were born. Before you were born, it was instilled within us, and then once you were saved, to renounce sin. Okay? That means both in our outward actions and inwardly. So we understand that we have this need to do so, but we don't always do it. So therefore, as God instructs us, and the more about the truth of His Word that we learn, then we understand that we all have to be taught this in our life. What you were born with, see, you were born with the inherited old nature from Adam, but when you were born with it, that didn't come out until you became this age of what? Accountability. Now, nobody knows when. Some people may never reach that in their life, depending on if they have some kind of birth defects or something. They may never reach that. But for us that have reached it, once we reach that, it was already instilled with us not to portray or become a part of this old nature. But when we came to that age, then we had to make the choice. Are we going to renounce that, or are we going to stay with what God instilled within us from the time that we were born? So when we don't renounce that, now it's a learning process. So now I have to, in order for me to understand, then through salvation, God puts within me the indwelling Holy Spirit. So now it's teaching me. So now I have to learn. Now I have to learn that I have this teachable spirit, and the Holy Spirit's in there to teach me. And what's He teaching me? He's teaching me that is already instilled within me. It's there. I just didn't grasp a hold of it, so now I've got to learn it. And the older we get, the harder it is to what? The harder it is to learn it. Because we get more and more set in our way. So our faith isn't just about hearing. Our faith just isn't about knowing the Word of God. But our faith is putting it into practice. And that is a lot hard. Have you ever taught, or you, let's say we're on the receiving end, and somebody says something to you that you already know, and you kind of abrasively say, "Well, I know that. Why are you telling me?" Well, we might know it, but we haven't put it into any kind of a practice, and people see that. So they mention that, and the first thing we do is become offensive about it. So that's one of the things that happens a lot of times in our spiritual life. God will try to show us something through His Word, and He keeps taking you back to the same verse of Scripture, and finally you just say, "Lord, I know that. Why do you keep bringing me back to this?" And He's trying to teach. You might know it. You might have heard it. You might know. But you're not practicing it. That's why I keep bringing you back to that same place. I want you to learn to practice it in your life. I want you to learn to let that come out so people will begin to see what that's all about. So this happens quite often in our life. So the goal that we're trying to reach when we're studying the Word of God, the goal isn't just to gain wisdom and knowledge, but through understanding, God is trying to transform our life. He's trying to get us to see you have the wisdom and knowledge. When you begin to understand it, then you got to put it into practice. Because understanding without practice, faith without what? Works is what? Dead. So you got to put it into practice, and we don't always put it into practice. So we got to learn to not only read the Word of God, but we got to learn to retain that. That if you go back into that 119th Psalm, David says, "Thy Word hath I hid in my heart, that what? I might not sin against Thee." So we retain that, so when these things happen, then we can react accordingly to what God's leadership and guidance is, and not according to our own. When we act according to our own worldly emotional motives, then we've missed the whole point. And now we got to go back, and God's got to teach us all over again. How many of you would like to go through school again? Nobody put their hand up. There were some things I wish I would have learned when I was in school that I didn't, but I don't know that I want to go back to school to learn them now. But that's kind of the way it is with God. So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, here's what he says. Let's go read this verse, because he tells us what we are in 1 John. First John chapter 3, verse 18. He says, "My little children." See, we're teachable. He says this because he wants us to be teachable. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So a lot of believers probably say, we love the Lord our God with what? All of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind. And then, of course, the second one is love thy neighbor as thyself. And so he says, that's loving in word or in tongue. Until you begin to put action with that, or your show that that's true in your life, then all you're doing is saying the words. There's nothing else to go with it. So true love, true faith, true trust in God, this all involves acts of service, that not just a verbal expression. So we learn this, and we learn that it, when we begin to do this, then we begin to reflect the characteristics of God through our actions and not just through our words. And that's what he wants us to do. So we've got to not just say we love God, we have to act upon God's love. So instead of just thinking about it all the time, we've got to do it. So that means when we learn to do this, then this faith that we proclaim to have, it will begin to produce good works. And good works in the Lord will begin to show others what salvation is truly all about. But it's got to be more than just putting words out there that we don't mean. Somebody else?
I believe I talked with Bread of Life. I talked to all of it. It's a spruce of bread.
Yeah.
That's the way of most of us. You leave the church, left the Word of God behind.
Yeah, you done forgot what God tried to teach you? So in starting with verse 25, here's what it says. "But whoso," or the one that looketh into the perfect law of liberty, meaning the Word of God, "and then continues therein, then he will not be a forgetful hearer, but he will be a doer of the work." He says, "This man shall be blessed in his deeds," or in the works that he does. "If any man among you seem to be religious, but bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, then this man's religion is what? It's in vain." He's not going to be blessed. So he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father, here is this. He says, here's what it is. He said, it's to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, now, why does he use the fatherless and the widows and all? What, why does he use that as an example?
Some people ain't got the money to
even pay. That's right. It shows people, it shows the need. Yeah. The need that is in the world. And the need that is being afflicted by the world. So he says, when we can go out into the world and we can begin to work in the world through the leadership and the guidance of his spirit that is within him, when we can begin to go out and do that without becoming what? A part of it, then he said, we'll be able to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Meaning, we'll not get... And then a lot of the New Testament talks about this, so you'll find more verses than just this one on this subject. But the Bible talks a lot about going out into the world and doing things, but not becoming a part of what you're doing. Because more than not, who ends up following who? Sure. And that's what the Bible talks a lot about that, because when you begin to go out into the world to do the work of the Lord, we think it's really going to be easy because God's given me the power, He's given me this. But what we're not taking into consideration is the deceptiveness and the temptations that Satan can throw in front of us. And he is really cunning. So we can be deceived very easily. That's why he says we got to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So one of the characteristics or the abilities that God gives unto us is before we go out, he gives us the ability to not only study and to meditate and do it diligently, but to apply it to our lives so that when we do go out... See, this isn't just a one-time... For a lot of people, this is a one-time thing. Well, I'm going out into the world. I'm going to be a witness for the Lord. I'm going to do great things. And when it all goes kaput and you fall on your face, then, well, I'm not doing that no more. Because I'm just not capable of doing it. Yes, we are capable of doing it, but we have to prepare before we go. So God wants to prepare us as... So the simple answer is we've got to intently study the perfect Word of God and be obedient to it, so that when all of these things come up in front of us that we're going to meet head on out there in the world, we can say and do it in a manner that will not be offensive to others. We can say that, no, we are going to stick to our principles through the Word of God.
God reminds us, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. There's no Word of God. I actually come right down to it. Eternally, let God open our minds what heaven's all about.
Mm-hmm. So it is very hard to go out into the world among your friends, your family, whoever it is that you hang out with. And it is very hard to go out among those people and be around them for a long time and not become a little bit about what they are. That's very hard to do. So it takes a lot of discipline. So Christ in Matthew, if you go back in chapter 12 again in Matthew, let me read you a couple verses here. 35, 36, and 37. Here's what he said. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So we're going to be judged according to our works. So he said, for by the words thou shalt be justified, or by the your words thou shalt be condemned. So you're either going to be justified by your works, or you're going to be condemned because of your works. So this is one thing that God tries to instill that into us through His Word, so that when we do go out into the world, that we remember our relationship with God, even though we must see a lot of people. The verse in the Bible says you come out from among those people. So a lot of people say, well, I'm not to keep myself out of trouble, I'm just not going to get around anybody that sins. Well, you're around yourself every day and you sin. So well, what are you going to do there? So that's not what the Bible, when he says to come out from among those people, he means you got to be around them. You're going to be around them, but you don't have to sin with them. And he'll give us the opportunity to do so and be that way in our life, and we'll still God wants us around those people because he wants us to be a bright and a shining light to them.
And you get some people, the Lord sends them somewhere, and one or two little, I must have got it wrong, God didn't want me here.
So the problem is when we get around people, and here's what we're not to do, but you'll hear a lot of preachers on TV that says this is what you're supposed to do, and they'll say, we don't care if you're our friend anymore or not. But people don't want to be preached at. Now, there's a difference between preaching to and preaching at. Okay? So when you're preaching to, God is leading you. So it could just be a normal conversation, something can... I'll tell you this little story, because I used to go up to Stonewall Jackson all the time and see people in the hospital. And once the pandemic hit, it's hard to go do it now. But anyhow, I was up there one day, and their regular minister, because they have an assigned minister to the hospital, and he was there going around. He was all dressed up in his three-piece suit and his Bible. And he was preaching at people. So I walked by this room, and the nurse said, would you come in here for a minute? And I said, yeah, I'll stop. And usually when I went, I just wear a pair of blue jeans and shirt. Sometimes I take my Bible. Sometimes I just, if I had to look something up, I'd look it up on my phone. But anyhow, the older gentleman was in there, and he said, would you talk to me for a little bit? And I did. And the nurse then asked him, said, well, do you want me to go get our regular... He said, no, I don't want that guy in here because he preaches at me all the time. He says, I want this guy in here because he just talks to me. So, and not that I'm trying to, but I'm just telling you the difference between talking to people and preaching at people. So preaching at people does not work, even though a lot of the people you hear on TV nowadays, they tell you that that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get up and scream and yell and stomp and tell them that everything that they're doing is wrong. But you do it in a way. Christ, many times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, says, yes, you're going to do that, but you're going to do it with love and compassion. And that's when people begin to listen, is when you do it with love and compassion. So it's the significance of our speech has a lot to do with how we present the characteristics of our relationship with God. So in 1 Peter 4:11, let me read this verse real quick. First Peter chapter 4, verse 11. This will kind of go along with this a little bit. He says, if any man speak... Pay attention to this. He said, if any man speak, let him speak as what? The oracles of God. Or speak as if it was Christ himself speaking. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Okay? Now, the only ability God may have gave you was just to be nice to somebody. But do it according to the ability that God gave you. Because he said that in all things, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ. So standing in front of somebody and yelling at them and telling them if they don't straighten up, they're going straight to hell, I don't know that that glorifies God. Because all you did was turn somebody away. So he said, all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So being a doer of the word has to begin with our own obedience to the word of God. And if we're not obedient to the word of God, then we cannot go out and be a doer of the word. And people see that. And people know that. And people are receptive according to that. So that's one of the things that we've got to learn. We've got to learn to use the spiritual gifts that God has given unto us to be able to speak and to be able to serve and to be able to focus on the things that God wants us to do. And we got to remember that everything that we do has to be something that will glorify God. If it doesn't glorify God, then we shouldn't do it to begin with. Okay, anybody else? So next week's lesson, we're in Timothy. Oh, it's talking about praying for peace. Well, that's a good one. We're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority.
Good time for it to show up.
Huh?
It's a good time. Good time.
Pray for that self first.